Sri Vishnu Sahasranama 754, Manada. And we who are fortunate to be counted among the followers of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very familiar with this term, as we are with the term which is the previous name in Vishnu Sahasranam. The previous one is Amani, and this one is Manada. Amani means one who does not desire to be honored, and Manada means one who gives honor to others. And we're all very well aware that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that these are two prime qualities of devotees who wish to chant the holy name of Krishna constantly and in purity. Now, when speaking on the name Amani, naturally I emphasize that this is an aspect of the Supreme Lord's humility. And actually, his humility is far more than our humility can be, because he doesn't have anything to be humble about. We are inferior. He is superior. He is infinitely superior, and we are infinitesimally small. So our constitutional position is to be small, and therefore it should be natural for us to be humble. But his constitutional position is to be great. So it's all the more surprising that he himself is humble, but simply not wanting respect is only one aspect of humility. That's the passive aspect, if you like. But then the active principle is to give respect to others. Not that one is simply aloof and doesn't care whether one honors you or not. That could also be the symptom of someone in tamagun. He doesn't care whether anyone honors him. He's used to being dishonored, and he doesn't really care about anything. But the person in tamagun doesn't offer respect to anyone. So the full manifestation of humility is not only to desire honor for oneself, which is very difficult in this world, but also to actively offer respect to others. Very difficult in this world. Everyone wants to be honored. If we hear someone talking about us, some people are talking, you want to hear what are they saying? If people are making comments about us, we're very interested to know what they say. If they make comments about someone else, we're generally not so interested, but if people make comments about us, maybe they write something about us on the internet, or we make a little video and we're looking to see how many likes we get, how much honor we're getting, we become happy, we become distressed if others dishonor us. It's a very strong principle in this material world to want to be honored. And therefore the impersonalists stress so much this nirahankar, to become free of false egoism. And if you think about it, a lot of what people do are beyond the basic animal activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. A lot of what people do is for the sake of prestige. They want people to look at them, stand out, build a big building, put it in your own name, become top of the class. They want to be honored. Krishna doesn't want to be honored, but he honors others. And he doesn't have to bow down to anyone. He doesn't have to respect anyone. Constitutionally, he's just there to be honored. But he honors others. It's not that he thinks, well, I need not be honored. But then why should I don't need to be honored, and I'm God. So why should others want to be honored? I should set the example of not honoring anyone, and then no one will honor anyone else. And then they'll all get liberated, because they'll all be free of false egoism. It doesn't work like that, and Krishna doesn't want it to work like that. Krishna is the Lord of love. Love means exchange with others, not that we just become all frigid, no relationship. Well, I don't have any egoism, so I don't want to interact with others, become a Swede or someone from Sweden, just frozen like the pine trees in the country. Just have as little to do with others. If you have to say something to others, you say it, but don't spare your love for others. Don't share it out too much. Maybe I'm being harsh on the Swedes, but it is a stereotype of, and I've been there also, so it's not completely untrue. As cold as the poor pine trees, the millions of them who stand on the hills in Sweden freezing in the long, cold winter. So we're not supposed to be like that. Krishna is a loving Lord, and love means interaction, and love means interaction, and not all this nonsense of trying to make everyone equal in all respects, when variegatedness is the very principle of enjoyment. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Krishna makes everything variegated, and the impersonalists want to make everything into one, and the voidists want to make everything into zero. But Krishna wants to make many, eko bahusyam. Krishna made into many, and they all have their own characteristics. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam eva. There are some things with very special characteristics. But actually everything has special characteristics. No two snowflakes are the same. Can it be proved? No. No two thumbprints are the same. Can it be proved? No. But at least what we've seen, they never seem to be the same, and probably they're not. Why? Sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He made it like that. It's fun to be different, and different means people are going to have different qualities. They're going to be better in one thing than another. However brilliant someone may be, a brilliant scientist, but his mother's better at the practical scientific activity of making chapatis that he eats every day, or his wife makes the chapatis. So he may be a famous scientist, busy making cures for coronavirus, or busy making coronavirus. Whoops, did I say that? Or so many other things that scientists do. Making missiles for killing people, making anti-missiles so that other people's missiles don't come and kill you, making anti-anti-missiles, anti-anti-anti-anti-missiles, and so on. But meanwhile, his wife is sitting at home and making chapatis. So everyone's good at something, unless you're completely in tamagun, and then all you're good at is lamenting. But to be the best at something is rare. And someone who's the best at something, then someone else will come up in course of time who's better. Krishna is supreme. Therefore, Krishna should be honored. That is the proper thing to do. In all of Krishna consciousness, all the training, it begins with bowing down. Bow down, mister. There was a song by a singer called Boy George. I would have probably never heard of it, but or heard it, but I did hear it, because It included Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he became somewhat favorable to devotees. At some point, it's a famous song, "Bow Down, Mister," and the idea is that, well, we should bow down. Don't expect others to bow down to us. But for Krishna, he does bow down. This is his unnecessary, it's not necessary for him to bow down to anyone, but he likes to do so. It's his astonishing humility. It's astonishing, actually. If someone is very great at something and they're also humble, even in the material world, it's appreciated. If someone's a great scientist and he echoes Newton, that if I'm able to see further than others, if I'm able to see further than others, it is because I've stood on the shoulders of so many great others. In other words, we may be great in something, but we're indebted to others for helping to make us great. Our teachers, if you're a great scientist, then you build on the achievements of previous great scientists. Our teachers, our parents, we are indebted to others. And there is a rasa in that. There's some flavor, some taste. It's nice to give respect to others. And then they reciprocate, and they're happy with that. And Krishna sees that, and he also wants to enjoy that taste. He's the supreme enjoyer. Raso vai saha. He is taste. He is taste, and he is rasanandi. He is Rasika Shekhara. He enjoys all the tastes. So there are various tastes. Krishna enjoys kissing the lips of the gopis of Vrindavan. He enjoys being kissed by the lips of his mothers. He enjoys fighting with his friends. He enjoys fighting with his enemies. Although constitutionally no one can be an enemy of the Lord. He's the supreme enjoyer. There are various kinds of tastes. And one of them is being a son or being a subordinate. Krishna comes to this world and he takes such roles. He particularly honors his devotees. He may honor non-devotees in some circumstances also, just like we see Varaha Dev after killing Hiranyaksha, who was his enemy. He expressed appreciation that he was a great fighter. And we find in the Mahabharata battle, after a great a soldier was killed, then, especially if they'd put up a tremendous fight on that battlefield at Kurukshetra, and then they were felled, and then they were killed. Then soldiers from both sides would honor them and congratulate them, or even in the midst of battle, if someone showed tremendous dexterity or courage in fighting, then even the very opponent who is particularly opposing would praise him. Appreciation is there. And that was going on both sides. Sometimes someone on the Kaurava side would praise the Pandava side, someone on the Pandava side would praise someone on the Kaurava side, and then they get back to the business of trying to kill each other. But there was appreciation for their Kshatriya prowess and their spirit of fighting. So Krishna, he also likes to participate in that, or rather, all of this originates in Krishna. Whatever feelings we have, they originate in Krishna. And the feeling of it's very nice to bow down before a superior. People who are raised in this pompous, materialistic, highly materialistic Western culture, they don't know that there is a pleasure in bowing down to superior persons. They think it's humiliating. Even if they see in our Hare Krishna movement, sometimes publicly, say for instance, there's a Rath Yatra and a venerable Vaishnav comes in the to arrives among the already assembled devotees, is in the public in a Western city, and devotees bow down. Sometimes members of the public, they're not just surprised, but they're indignant. Why should you bow down to anyone? But they don't know. There's a. It's not only one's duty, but there's a pleasure in doing so. And then the superior blesses, and it's a reciprocation. And Krishna wants to be part of that. But to be part of that, it originates in him, and he wants to be part of it. But to be part of that, he has to take a subordinate position. If he can be, he's already part of it by everyone bowing down to him. Yang Brahma Varanendra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyaistavai. All the great persons who are themselves are bowed down to by so many others, they bow down to Krishna. But he also likes to take the position of bowing down to others. So he comes as if an ordinary human. And he, even as an adult, he takes a subordinate position. And that's therefore, there also, he may think that a child should honor thy father and mother. This is one of the biblical injunctions. Honor thy father and mother. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is to offer respects to every living being. And Srila Prabhupada commented on that by saying one way you honor them is by not killing them to eat them. That includes particularly with reference to the slaughter industry. Instead of calling it the meat industry, why don't we get more specific? Call it the slaughter industry. Krishna takes a subordinate role, even as an adult. And that's going on in Asian culture, maybe other parts of the world also, that even if a man is 70 years old, he'll bow down to his 95-year-old father or mother, and mother, if they're both. That goes on as long as one is in this body. It may be that the culture is very materialistic also, but they retain this culture, which is appreciable. Srila Prabhupada is in Japan, highly materialistic culture, but they have the culture of offering respect to seniors, to holy men. People would bow down to Srila Prabhupada. Not exactly bow down, but joining the hands together and bowing at the hips. And Srila Prabhupada appreciated that. That is good culture to do that. And this is Krishna. He's doing it. He doesn't think, well, I'm just doing it to teach others. He is doing it to teach others also. But he actually thinks that these persons are superior to me. When he bows down to Yudhishthira, when he bows down to Devaki and Vasudev, and even on the battlefield, it was on the 17th evening of the battle, and there were only 18 days. So Gandhari arrived, having heard that her sons were being slaughtered by Bhima. She wanted to convey the potency that she had accumulated from her long practice of austerity, apart from her blindfolding herself. While the Pandavas were in the forest, she started seriously practicing austerities with the idea to try to help her sons, knowing that when the Pandavas came back, it wasn't going to be easy for her sons. So she arrived on the evening of the 17th day and heard that not only were all her sons being slaughtered, but whatever ones were left had also been slaughtered, with the exception of Duryodhana. And I won't go on discussing this whole thing more, but just the point is that when Krishna, who was obviously in the other camp, some miles and miles away from the Kaurava camp, because of, you know, millions of people fighting initially, by the time this 18th morning came, it was much, much reduced, less than a million troops. So it was a huge, huge battlefield, and that their camps were quite some miles apart. Krishna got the news that Gandhari had come, and he went to offer respect to her. He knows she's the mother of the people we're killing. But he went as a matter of duty and pleasure to offer respect. It's just, you do it, that's all. Someone respectable comes and you go and offer respect. When someone's so respectable, she's not only related by marriage, somewhat, to Krishna, but she's the wife of the queen. She's a very elderly, very respected woman. Krishna went to offer, he'd heard that she'd come, and on the morning he went to offer respect to her. Why does he do that? It's, well, in the culture, that culture, you don't even think, why do you do it? It's just something that you do. You offer respect to respectable people. And if someone comes like that, you may go several miles. He went to see her. It's a duty, but it's also very pleasurable to do that. And Krishna gave respect. That was his tendency. Gave respect to his devotees. There are so many examples. After Krishna killed Kamsa and so many of Kamsa's accomplices, it was natural, everyone thought that Krishna would assume the role of the king of Mathura. But Krishna said, no, why me? I'm just a young boy. This Ugrasena is the head of our clan. He should be the king. Ugrasena was much less in every way except social position than Krishna. He hadn't been able to quell Kamsa. Krishna was able to. But Krishna, he said, Ugrasena, you be the king. And Ugrasena was able to take that post, protected by Krishna. Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. Ugrasena became the ruler means Krishna became his subject. Krishna made Yudhishthira the king. He would always offer respect. We find again and again when Krishna came to meet the Pandavas. Generally, they were all together. Sometimes not, but they were all at least in the same area. I mean, just like, for instance, they were in Indraprastha. They were together. Or they were in the forest together. And sometimes one or two of them would go out on some mission to get water or something. Or Arjuna had to go away for some time to collect heavenly weapons, but generally they're all together. And then what would Krishna do? First of all, he would bow down to Yudhishthira and Bhima, because they were older than him. Then he would embrace Arjuna, because he was of the same age. Then he would accept respects from Nakula and Sahadev. So it's not that first you accept respects from others. First you have to offer respect to the respectable, then you can accept respect from others. So in this way, Krishna is the ideal of Manada. The very fact that he becomes the son of his devotees, he accepts an inferior role, as if inferior. And he offers honor to his devotees by the very fact of is becoming their son. And then they become glorified. Up to the present day, we glorify Dasharath and Kausalya and Sumitra. And we don't glorify Kaikeyi, but Ram did. Ram never spoke a bad word about her. Everyone else did. He would not. And even if people spoke bad words about Kaikeyi and his friends, he would say, "No, no, you don't do that. Bharat, you go back and you respect your mother. You don't disrespect her. She's also the mother of God, because Bharat is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead in another form." So Krishna followed all this etiquette, and again, not just to set an example, he took pleasure in doing so. He came to this world and took pleasure in doing so, not thinking that, well, I just have to do this to set an example for others. I'm looking forward to going back to Vaikuntha, where I don't have to do all this bowing down. I can just sit down, everyone bows down to me. He doesn't think like that. He comes from Vaikuntha so he can bow down to others. Astonishing, Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'll read a passage from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offering respect to others. This happened, well, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered respect to others many times, but the particular passage I'm going to read, what's happened, Vallabha Bhatta has glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is absolutely correct, the proper thing to do, no doubt about it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized some lacking in Vallabha Bhatta's understanding. He wanted to offer respect to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he didn't have a particularly high estimation or proper understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, responding to Vallabha Bhatta, said, "My mind has become purified because I have associated with Advaita Acharya, who is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is unparalleled in his understanding of all the revealed scriptures and the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Therefore, he is called Advaita Acharya. He is such a great personality that by his mercy he can convert even the meat eaters, mlechas, to the devotional service of Krishna. Who therefore can estimate the power of his Vaishnavism? Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the Avadhut," so he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glorified Advaita, most senior. Now he's going to the next senior, Nityananda. "Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the Avadhut, is also directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is always intoxicated with the madness of ecstatic love. Indeed, he is an ocean of love of Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya perfectly knows the six philosophical theses. He is therefore the spiritual master of the entire world in teaching the six paths of philosophy. He is the best of devotees. Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya," Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "has shown me the limit of devotional service. Only by his mercy have I understood that devotional service to Krishna is the essence of all mystic yoga." Now, actually, it's round the other way. It's only by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that Sarvabhauma could understand this. And it's very clear from descriptions in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't think like that. He's not bluffing. "Srila Ramananda Rai is the ultimate knower of the transcendental mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. He has instructed me that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead," which is not untrue that Ramananda has instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard. But did he not know previously? Certainly he knew. Then why is he making a point of it? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinks that my understanding is enriched by hearing from Ramananda. And of course we find that in the 8th chapter of Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Ramananda Rai, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request and by his infusing Ramananda with potency, Ramananda instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, through the mercy of Ramananda Rai, I have understood that ecstatic love of Krishna is the highest goal of life, and that spontaneous love of Krishna is the highest perfection. It is impossible to describe the influence and knowledge of Ramananda Rai, for only by his mercy have I understood the unalloyed love of the residents of Vrindavan. The transcendental mellows of ecstatic love are personified by Swarup Damodar. By his association, I have understood Vrindavan's transcendental mellow of conjugal love. Haridas Thakur, the teacher of the holy name, is the most exalted of all pure devotees. Every day he chants 300,000 holy names of the Lord. I have learned about the glories of the holy name from Haridas Thakur, and by his mercy I have understood these glories. Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Gadadha Pandit, Jagadananda, Damodar, Shankara, Vakreshwara, Kashishwara, Mukunda, Vasudev, Murari, and many other devotees have descended in Bengal to preach to everyone the glories of the holy name of Krishna and the value of love for him. I have learned from them the meaning of devotional service to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself is the fountainhead of all knowledge and all love for Krishna, but he feels as if I have been enriched by all these devotees, and he praises them thus in their presence. Most of them, speculation. Some of them were present when Vallabhabhatta was saying this. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in commenting on this name, gives the observation that Lord Krishna at the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj was in charge of washing the feet of the guests. So that is how he was giving respect to others, especially the incoming brahmanas. Lord Krishna would give respect. Sudama Vipra, Krishna gave him all respect when he came to the palace of Krishna and Rukmini in Dwaraka. Another meaning, Baladev Vidyabhushan, is that he destroys the honor of the opponents of his devotees. Man means, it's like Abhiman. We discussed in the last, within the last name, the Amani. So man corresponds to pride, false sense of one's identity. He destroys their honor. How does he do it? One way he does it is by manada, giving them honor. Wait a minute. He destroys their honor by giving them honor. And then they become, they get honor, and then they become, they get honor, which means mana. And another meaning of mana is pride. Then they become proud, and then pride leads to a downfall, and they go to hell. They do all sinful activities and go to hell. So he pumps them up, puffs them up, setting them up to go down to hell. You want to be proud? Okay, here you are. You can be big and famous and rich, and there you are, be famous. Everyone loves you. Everyone gives you respect, and then fall down into hell. Losing all honor, become a worm in stool. Where's the honor? Maybe among the worms in stool there's prestige also. I'm the best eater of stool. I'm the biggest. I get the best stool. Who knows? Among the animals, we find a sense of honor is very prominent. Elephants fight to who will be the head of the herd of elephants. And even among the cows, we see who's the top cow if there's a herd of cows. Prestige. It's because there's leadership, and leadership, that's always there. Someone has to be in charge. Srila Prabhupada often mentioned that Krishna wants to give the credit, Krishna to his devotees. Krishna, he could have himself won the battle of Kurukshetra, practically in so many ways he did, but he made Arjuna the instrument, nimitta matra. He gave Arjuna the credit, although without Krishna there, Arjuna could not have won. So he likes to give the credit to his devotees, even if they try to avoid it. Madhavendra Puri wanted to avoid being honored because he knew that when the news came out that the deity Gopinath, that Ramana, had stolen kheer, condensed milk sweet, for Madhavendra, that people would start to praise him. Oh, he's a great Vaishnava. So he left that place immediately. But the news went ahead of him so that when he reached Puri, everyone already knew, which helped Madhavendra in fulfilling the reason that he went to Puri, to collect sandalwood for serving his deity Gopal on Gopal's order. We can learn from this. He wants to offer respect to his devotees. We should also offer respect to his devotees, as well as offering respect to him, of course, and know where to offer respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says we should respect all living beings, but special respect is offered to those who are specially respectable. There is a differentiation. Otherwise, it all becomes one. But it's not all one. Some are to be respected more than others. People in this material world, one way we can say they're bound in this material world is that they become bound up by offering respect to the wrong kind of people. Their attention goes to the wrong kind of people. Shvavidvara hoshtra karai sangstuta purusha pashahu nayat karna pato petas jatu nama gadagraja. Persons who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses praise persons into whose ears the name of Krishna never entered. They take pleasure in glorifying the wrong kind of people. So we should not fall into that trap and give... Of course, respect we can give, we should give, even to people who are not devotees in a secular situation. Sanatan Goswami, along with all the brahmanas in his company, stood to offer respect to Gaudeshwara, the king of Bengal, who was a Muslim cow-eater, Hindu-hater, destroyer of temples. But they stood to offer him respect because he was the king. We offer respect to people according to their position. If in our temple people come in general, we treat them nicely, or we may not treat them, but if so many people are coming, we may not give them any special respect. We make some arrangement, give them Charanamrita, offer them Srila Prabhupada's books, all these things. But if a particularly respectable person comes, like the chief minister of a state here in India, then definitely we'll make a special arrangement. He may also be a meat eater. I don't know. Probably most of the heads, almost certainly most of the heads of state in India at the present time are meat eaters. There will be some exceptions. Yogi in UP and in Gujarat, I'm not sure whether or not. Presumably Yogi in UP is. But anyway, the point I'm making is that they may be materialistic people, but we offer them respect. Then how much more to the devotees? The Lord himself wants to offer respect. He comes to the world to offer respects to his devotees. We should do so. We shouldn't become diverted by offering respect to materialistic people. As materialistic people offer respect to other materialistic people, they think it's very important. They offer respect to tennis players and film stars and so many people who again, if the world's number one tennis player was to come to our temple, then we'd probably offer him some special welcome. He's a famous, prominent person, but we don't think he's making any specific contribution to the world, at least not by his tennis play. So the point is, yes, we can offer respect to materialistic people conventionally, but just like Krishna would offer respect conventionally to kings when he went to visit them, but then he may fight with them also. But Krishna likes to give respect to his devotees, and we should not waste our life and in becoming infatuated with people who are not really worthy of respect as Krishna is. We should fixate our attention on saintly people, not on demons. Why we're bound up in this material world. People are fascinated by various people who are in the categories of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. We should fixate our attention on Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. And bowing down to them, then by their mercy we can be raised up to the world that they come to this world to bring us to the spiritual world, where it's a very loving relationship with them. There's no power play in the spiritual world because it's clear who's on top, nor is anyone envious of him, nor is there any exploitation, nor is there any enmity, because in the spiritual world, everyone has fully imbibed the spirit of amanina manadena. They don't desire respect for themselves. They like to give respect to others. This is the platform on which actual spiritual consciousness can develop. We talk about prem, Bhagavat prem, Krishna prem. The basis of that is wanting to give respect to others, especially to Krishna and his devotees. Krishna won't accept our respect. He will, but not to the same extent unless we offer to his devotees also. As we saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praising his devotees to Vallabh Bhatta. Acharya meva haraye pujasya shradhayan vitena tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smritaha. One who worships the Supreme Lord but offers no special respect to his devotees and has no particular interest in uplifting others is a materialistic devotee, not an advanced devotee. So in the spiritual world, everyone's a fully advanced devotee. Everyone is non-desirous of being respected, desirous of respecting others. They all follow the example of the Supreme Lord himself. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tadad eve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Whatever a great man does, others follow his example. And that's definitely true in the spiritual world in the sense that the Supreme Lord himself is free of any false ego and is very happy to interact with his devotees appropriately, offering respect, not desiring respect, as appropriate. As appropriate means just like Yudhishthira Krishna bows down to, he accepts the bows of Nakul and Sahadev. So this is the Vaikuntha consciousness, how we can convert the world to Vaikuntha consciousness, or at least we can convert this society of devotees, which it should be, to Vaikuntha consciousness by this trinadupi sunichta, or the mood which is generated by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice to consider ourselves lower than a straw in the street, not desiring respect, ready to respect others, being very tolerant, just like a tree. In that way, we can all chant Hare Krishna all the time, and the whole world will become like the spiritual world. I have more to say about Manada. maybe in another session, Krishna willing, hopefully. We pray to be able to say so in a future session. Just now I'll finish. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya tunakang padayonipatya kritvacha kakushatameda raham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kurutanuragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama hari krishna hari krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare